Okay, let's go ahead and get started. All right, our agenda is here. Today on the agenda, we've got implementation updates, RDF issue 128, which is a mandatory profiles issue, and RDF issue 129, lossless conversion. We might want to go ahead and do lossless conversion first, since Sandra is here. And if Sandra needs to run to another call, we can just deal with this at the beginning of the call and then go to the mandatory profiles at the end of the call.
I don't actually have any time pressure. I may need to be in the car for a bit, but I can stay on the call in the car.
Okay, all right. We might just flip it around because that's the more concerning of the two issues. Sorry, Paul.
Actually, in terms of agenda things, the publication today...
Yeah.
Last I saw, there was an email from the webmaster about some problem with that. Are you on top of that?
No, I'm not. I didn't see that. Thanks. I will check it out. I got an email last week saying that everything was good to go, but I'll check it out. Thanks, Andrew. I would have missed that. Let's see. Paul, would you mind scribing today?
All right. I'll do my best.
Thanks.
I don't know. Of course, I don't know most of the people, so...
That's fine. We'll fill in or fix it after the call.
Mono, there was one other thing that came up from Digikim.
Uh-huh.
I just pasted that. It was basically sort of re-looking at the sort of the top-level index issue.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep. Okay, we can tack that on to the end. I don't think we're going to make...
I don't think so either. But,
and I think that's probably. I mean, this is like. I think we're pretty firmly in feature free. So if it's a new feature, I'm pretty sure we're going to just have to. And I told him that. I said we can, you know, kind of push it off to the next version of JSON LD. Paul, sorry, I'm going to mute you again. Your line's still giving me feedback. Okay, let's go ahead and get started with the agenda then. First up are implementation updates. I think, Greg, you've gotten your Ruby implementation in line, is that right?
Yeah, so it's complete and released. And there's only one, I made a couple of small edits to the editor's draft for problems. Minor problems I found during doing my implementation. Most of them were typos or just a small missing step. There is one remaining missing step that I haven't edited, and I probably didn't want to do that without discussing it with Marcus or Dave.
Okay. Have you logged an issue for it? Or?
No, I haven't.
Okay. We might want to do that if you're gonna
I think it's worth discussing just because I don't know that it's possible that there's nothing wrong with the wording and it's
okay.
Just a misunderstanding.
Okay, all right. Do you want to discuss it on the call today or just have an offline discussion with Marcus? And
I'll have an offline discussion. Yeah, it's a little technical, so.
Okay. Okay, anything else on implementation updates? You did add some test cases to the JSON LD test suite, Greg, is that right?
No, I did not.
Oh, I think there were
several added that now I report and the others don't currently have reports for.
Okay.
But I think those are Marcus added those.
Okay. Okay, yeah, because Dave was telling me that he needed to do some updates to his implementation to pass those, or to just even run it against the test suite.
There are probably more tests that could be added.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, there's one test in one section for looking for errors that should be reported.
Okay.
There's many, many other errors that could be checked for. We don't have any way to, in the test manifest, to signal alternative flags that algorithms should be run with to look for alternative results.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Sandra's also put out some numeric conversion examples that could have
mm-hmm.
some tests to verify that they're doing what they're supposed to.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess we're going to continue to add tests to the test suite until we enter CR. So we just need to make sure that we add those tests that need to be added.
Well, I mean, that's a good question. Are we? I mean, at some point in a call for implementations, do we not need to have a frozen test suite
right.
for people to use?
Yeah, and so that happens before we go into CR. So we'll freeze the test suite before we go into CR.
Actually, that's not true. I mean, we can keep adding tests through CR. It obviously is a pain, and it
right.
makes CR exit harder. But in particular, if some ambiguity is reported during CR, it would be absolutely the best thing to add a test that clarifies that ambiguity.
Right. Yeah. So let me clarify. We should make all of the known additions to the test suite before we go into CR. And as Sandra said, if there's a good reason to add a new test during CR, we can do that. Sorry, that was probably not clear on my end. Sandra, that was what you were saying. Is that right?
Yes, exactly.
Like that approach is okay.
Of course, that's a burden because we've got to get people to rerun the test suite after that happens,
yeah.
So we don't want to do that.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, fortunately, I think for most of us who have done it, it's just a matter of pushing a button to get them all out, and probably the biggest work is in the collating them
mm-hmm.
after that.
Right. Okay. Anything else on implementation updates before we go to RDF issue 129?
Nicholas is on the phone. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, Nicholas, you were discussing perhaps doing a working with Andy on a Java implementation. I think we on the RDF call last week, it was made clear how important it is that Jason LDB covered in the major in the most used implementations, which would include Jenna. Redland would probably be a much more difficult
mm-hmm.
one to get done, but I'm
yeah.
wondering.
No progress from my side on that, other than a quick and dirty create turtle directly from JSON-LD for our own internal purposes.
Yeah.
But
there is a movement on the Java implementation, though. Let me see if I can remember who's working on it.
Tristan has
yes.
the one that I think is supported by. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh, that's one. A new. Oh, nice.
Yeah. And in fact, I spoke with Andy, and Andy said that Tristan stopped updating the processor because the spec was changing too much about 6 months ago, so he just kind
yeah.
of stopped doing it. But if you look at. His implementation lately, he's been working on it. So the latest commit for the JSON-LD Java stuff was 8 hours ago. You know, there's been plenty of activity in the last week. So I think we're in fairly good shape. I think Tristan's going to get it into good shape over the next month. I don't know if he's actually going to do an implementation report. I emailed him and asked him to send us an implementation report, but I haven't heard back from him yet.
Yeah. But that's excellent. The last week when I checked that, this hadn't happened yet, so it's fairly recent, I think. Which is great. Then we will at least start to use it here, and it will be much easier for us to assist in this if there is some progress already.
Yeah, and one of the kind of crazy things is that Tristan went ahead and ported the normalization stuff, the JSON-LD normalization, or the RDF graph normalization stuff as well, and actually got it working. So we were surprised because the only thing he had to look at was some preliminary JavaScript code, and he just did a full port of it, and it worked.
Right.
So hopefully he'll bring that up to date as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I think we're in good shape for a Java implementation at some point in the next 8 months, hopefully sooner. Anything else before we move on? Okay, next up is Sandro's issue, RDF issue 129, lossless conversion. The link to the issue is here. Sandro, would you mind doing a kind of a quick intro to your thinking on this issue?
Let's see. So I was paying close attention to this because I'm working on some RDF diff and patch stuff, so I was looking at the rules for exactly when a literal should match another literal, like, you know, is the language tag the same case? And I was realizing that in JSON LD, if you pay attention at that level, we're, by the current rules, we were losing enough information that triples wouldn't match themselves often. For instance, there's examples in the email. So we had a bunch of email going back and forth about how that might be addressed. And the real challenge here, of course, is that JSON is underspecified about numbers. It doesn't say anything about whether there are 32-bit, 64-bit, infinite precision, floating point, or decimal style. You know, it doesn't say any of that. So implementations, real-world implementations, are sort of free to do whatever they want, and JSON parsers, I guess the PHP JSON parser parses numbers that are decimal point into a 32-bit int, whereas JavaScript ones parse it into an IEEE double. And those have very different precision qualities. So round tripping becomes very hard. The solution that I kind of suggested in desperation, and Marcus said, yeah, that actually works. And I looked at it again, like, yeah, I think that does work. So maybe this is the way forward. It is to say that basically without native types, without the native, use native types flag set, of course you have full precision, full round tripping. If you set the native types flag, you're just giving up round tripping. You're not going to get round tripping on numbers. And so in that case, we might as well convert nearly all the number types to native JSON numbers, and on return, convert them all to RDF. XSD double. The one thing Marcus suggested we not convert is decimal, because when people use decimal, it's usually specifically to flag that they care about exact precision, and I quite agree with that. I don't know if that made any sense, but that's the picture.
Yeah, no, so this is just to kind of go back in time for a little bit. We had a lot of discussion about the round tripping qualities of JSON LD. A number of your points I think we've already discussed before. Let me try to go down the list. The idea that there are round tripping issues is I think well known in JSON LD. So basically if you want to ensure, I think the decision we came to before was if you want to ensure that data is round-trippable, do not use the use native types flag, right? That's just, if you want to make sure that...
I agree. I think that needs to be made more clear in the spec. That's just an editorial point.
Okay, right. So that's good.
I read the spec there two or three times, and I didn't really get that impression.
Yeah.
I think it should be a big red warning if you want data round tripping, never set use native types.
We do say that. So we say to ensure lossless round tripping, the converting to RDF algorithm specifies a use native types flag, which controls whether or not blah, blah, blah. So we have that text in there, but it's not a big warning. We could do a better job explaining it. So I definitely think we should add some editorial texts specifying that. The question of, you know, some processors do 32-bit and some do 64-bit, and it depends on the architecture you're on. I think it's going to be very difficult for us to specify, at least this is where we ended up the last time we discussed it, is it's going to be very difficult for us to specify anything without making some subset of developers kind of angry about the decision we've made. So, for example, if we say precision is capped to 32 bits when you're doing integers, then the people that are consuming Twitter, Twitter JSON, are going to be pissed off because the Twitter IDs are already well past the 32-bit, you know, location. They're already past the 32-bit space. And that's a fairly big use case, right? So we're basically saying JSON-LD, if you ingest Twitter and run it through a JSON-LD processor, is going to change the Twitter JSON into something completely different because we have this 32-bit limitation in there, when the vast majority of browsers today don't have that limitation.
So actually, I forgot from my summary the sort of most important point here, which is to say, don't pass around JSON-LD with native numbers unless you really don't care about the integrity of your data, right? If you're serving it on the web, and you expect this to be merged and used with other linked data out there, don't use native types because you'll end up with this kind of problem.
I think we tried to be a little more specific in our guidance, which didn't make it into the spec, so we definitely need to put this in the spec. I think it is very application specific. So for the vast majority of applications, they're not going to care, at least the ones that we've seen, right? So the vast majority of... Go ahead.
But the whole point of the semantic web is that you don't know what the application is. You're publishing data for other consumers that run applications you can't possibly know about to be using your data.
There are certain assumptions that you make, right? So I think people, when they publish data on the web today, and I'm not saying that this is a good thing that these assumptions are made, I'm just saying that when you publish data on the web today, one of the basic assumptions that you make is the machines that are consuming the data are at least 32-bit capable. And that's not a proper assumption to make, because you still might have, you know, 16-bit machines reading data off of the web. But when data
with
is
RDF,
published, say that again.
With RDF, you're not making that assumption. So what sort of publishing data do you mean?
Well, what I mean is that what general web developers publishing data on the web, they don't think about 16-bit. Machine. So I'm saying that there's just this, I'm not saying it's the correct thing to do, I'm saying that data publishers are going to do it anyway. So even if we say, you know, whenever you publish a number using JSON-LD, you should convert it to a string and mark it as an XSD int, I don't think very many web developers are going to listen to that advice. Does that make sense? Because it makes working with the data that much more difficult.
With JSON-LD, we're sort of setting the bar a little higher, and because we've got this API to convert it, we just say, be sure to use expanded form, I think I've got the term right there, where everything's in a string, when you're sending it to another machine that might use a different internal numeric representation of you. For instance, it might be a 16-bit machine. Everything will work fine as long as you convert it to to extended form before you send it out on the net to unknown clients.
Are you saying we give that advice as general advice, as we say this is, or we say you should do this or you must do this?
Well, I don't even know if we need to give it as advice so much as stated as a fact that if you use native forms, then clients may get the wrong data because they use a different internal representation. If you use expanded form, then clients will get the right data. Just state that as a matter of fact, and people can, or we could state it as an advice form.
Just to clarify, that's not expanded form. Expanded form means there's no context, but it still may have native data types. We don't have a name for the form in which there are no native data types used.
Okay. Well, whatever. So then, replace what I just said with expanded from search and replace expanded form with JSON with no native data types or no native numbers.
Paul, you're on the queue. Let me unmute you if you're not unmuted already.
Yeah, I think it is an important thing. All right, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah.
Am I on there? Okay. Yeah, since I do think it is important that we have this call out, because otherwise it's going to get lost. I know with our group, we're doing banking and financial apps, so obviously data types are really important with respect to numbers. So having that type of call out will make it a lot more apparent to our consumers exactly how they need to be talking and in order to maintain data integrity. So I do think that there is definite value in adding that the additional editorial comment, editorial text.
Okay, so are we talking about just, I guess, Sandra, are we talking about just editorial text, or are we talking about modifying the algorithms such that they enforce some of this stuff in some way?
Well, I think there's two separate parts to this proposal. I think what we've been talking about mostly so far is just editorial. And then it seems like if we're going to do that, and just thinking about it from this perspective that you don't have, that use native types as more of a do what I mean and I'll accept some kinds of errors mode, that if we do that, we might as well change the algorithms to convert things to have use so right now use native does not turn an int or a short or a byte or a bunch of these things. It doesn't put them into native for fear of losing some information. But we might as well do that anyway, and that's more what people want. So this do what I mean mode is basically taking all numbers except for decimal and turning them into native numbers. So that's a very trivial change to the algorithm, but it is still a change to the algorithm.
Greg, you're on the queue.
Sorry.
I thought you were done, Sandra. Go ahead.
I was just going to think the other change is in the conversion back, that it would always come back as a double instead of, I think right now, sometimes it comes back as an XSD integer.
Okay. Greg?
Yeah, I'm wondering if maybe the flag's in the wrong place. Right now the flag is in the convert from RDF algorithm. And there is no way when doing internal processing to basically go back and forth between native representation and sort of string representations. Perhaps instead there should be an expansion flag so that in general we deal with everything using strings when we're going back and forth to RDF, the string representation. But when you're expanding, you could have an option that a developer then might use to say, well, turn all of the numeric data types into number representations, and I suppose while we're at it, Boolean as well. Because that really gets to, that's what really enables developers to decide, I want to use this data natively, rather than having the publishers do it.
I like that a lot. It also, you could have either mandatory or optionally part of that, it could check in a platform-specific way that it's not losing any precision. It could raise an error at that point if it's converting something that's outside of what it can convert precisely.
It can also use, because it's possible to use the numeric representations with data types, so if that information is retained in the expanded form, then when transforming from native types back to sort of the string form, we wouldn't necessarily need to lose the type information, if not the precision information.
Yep.
Okay, so I didn't quite follow that. I have one kind of concern that's floating out there, and that's whether or not this information is round-trippable from RDF to JSON-LD and then back to RDF. So the modifications that Marcus made to the spec yesterday made it impossible for you to round-trip the information anymore. So if you start out with, five and it's an XSD byte or short or whatever, you know, whatever that it is. Let's see. If it's, let's say, you start out with an XSD short, and then you convert it to the native types, there's no way to get it back to RDF as an XSD short. It's going to, the algorithm's just not going to, you lose information, basically, when you do that. And we were very careful to try and not lose information when transforming to JSON LD.
The point is with use native, you have to lose information. We couldn't find any way to not lose information with use native. So if you don't want to lose information, don't use native.
There are multiple levels of losing information. So one of them is losing the type information, and the way that we currently have it implemented, you do not ever lose type information when you round trip from RDF to JSON-LD.
If you have a double, whose value is 1, you lose that type information.
No, because you can go to this representation.
Sorry, I'm not an IRC right now.
Oh, okay. Well, you can set the type in the. Let me just finish typing it out, even though you can't see it, Sandro. So when you do the transformation, you can retain the data type information. It gets into an expanded value. But the value of the value key is numeric, but it is in an expanded form that also includes the type, which has the original data type that we got from Turtle. Now, in this case, the case I said it was just a native Turtle 1, but if I had Turtle 1 typed as XSD int, then that information is retained when it goes to JSON LD. It's the precision of that actual value that could be changed.
Right. I wasn't thinking you'd use expanded form if you were using native types. Native types, because that seems pretty.
When you go from RDF to JSON, you always use expanded form. It generates expanded form. It's only compaction that changes things from expanded to compacted and can remove the typing information.
Right. So if you went to RDF to JSON and then compacted, that way you would lose the fact that it was a double.
If it depends upon the context that you're compacting with.
Okay, I see. Yeah, okay, so I guess you don't lose type information. I missed that fact.
Yeah, so that's the one of the concerns that I have is that I really don't like the fact that we lose type information because we didn't used to do that before, and with the changes that Marcus made where, you know, just anything, bytes, shorts, ints, longs, unsigned bytes, all of them get converted to the native type, that's kind of a non-starter for me. I don't like that at all.
As long as the type information is retained, as you just described, then what's the problem with converting them to native type?
I don't understand the question.
I think you just said your concern was in losing the type information, but mm-hmm. you just explained to me, or actually somebody whose voice I didn't recognize explained to me that that expanded form retains the type information even when you're using native types. So you could convert int and byte to native number, and you'd still have the type information in the expanded form.
That's only if we make this change that I believe you and Greg might have agreed on previously. I don't know. So Greg, that's the part that I didn't quite understand. Greg, you had proposed to move the use native type flag to somewhere else in the process, and I didn't catch where in the process that's being moved to. So, for example, if we always convert, if from RDF always uses, expanded form, and the use native types flag is used in, let's say, the compaction call instead of the from RDF call, then it is possible for developers to decide whether or not they want to lose, quote unquote, lose information or not. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was suggesting that we have an option in expansion that allows transforming either the strings either to native types or vice versa, rather than doing it in the RDF conversion. And that way, the default sort of publication of JSON would be with the string representations. But a developer, when using the API, could pass a flag. And of course, since pretty much everything involves expand, you could include that flag with other, like flatten or compact as well, that would, in addition to applying the context to the data, would also convert string representations into their native form and vice versa if the data types matched. Now, looking at Jason's rewrite, that Marcus's rewrite here, and maybe I'm misremembering, but in the last section on RDF to object conversion, he's simply transforming straight to a JSON number without retaining the data type information. So I think that's something I'm not quite as in favor of.
Yeah, there were a couple of other changes you made that were just kind of blew apart the whole round trip thing.
I think at this point we maybe need a little bit more discipline on willy-nilly changing specs.
Well, yeah, I definitely agree. I don't think that the change should be made. Anyway, that's the side. Go ahead, Tanner.
I cut Marcus a little slack because I think he's just been on a plane for 24 hours or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we agree he shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. So I guess here's the other concern I have is if we end up implementing, I think we need to discuss this a bit more. Specifically, we need to get Marcus and Dave Longley on the call as well, because implementing these changes, while they might seem kind of small and trivial, could have a number of cascading effects in the API. So we definitely shouldn't make a decision without them involved in the discussion. If we do decide to do this, move the API flag to somewhere else, it's going to be a third last call that it's going to put us into, because it's going to change the interface for the API and it's going to change the API algorithms in a non-trivial way.
Well, note that we're not really in second last call, because Dennis, I think his last email was to push it out to next week because the document wasn't ready. That being the case, we would have an opportunity to get another resolution to update that so that we don't actually go into a second last call.
Okay, so what we could do then in that case is I could run in there and add an issue marker to the spec and say that the round-tripping functionality may change, and that would allow us to change it without having to go through a third last call. But we would need that approved by the RDF working group tomorrow, which I think is doable, except I'm not going to be able to be on the call. I've got a web payments call to be on.
I can make sure that's brought up.
Okay, great. Okay. So
I don't imagine adding an issue marker is going to have any controversy at all.
Right. Okay.
Sandra,
right.
Do you have an opinion on that?
I'm trying to think of exactly how. So this would be an at-risk feature, technically.
I don't know if it would be at risk. I think we might mark it as needs community input. From what I remember, you can also do that and say that we might change this based on community input. Is that right?
I haven't seen that, but that makes sense.
Okay.
Maybe you can find the reference for where you've seen that done before.
Okay.
But basically, we'd be flagging that the conversion rules around and interface around the numeric, basically around JSON native representation of numbers,
mm-hmm.
might be changed, right? Is that the scope of the change we're talking about?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, I think if the scope is defined that small, I think we could do this. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. Then that's the plan. Then I'll go in and try and fix these publication issues, and I'll add an issue marker stating something to that effect, and then we can get it approved in the RDF working group tomorrow, and then we'll publish the doc next Tuesday.
In a similar vein, I think we should probably flag something about futures, exactly how we're referring. So right now we're referring to the WetWG spec in an undated way. And I think we might have to refer to a different spec or a dated version of the spec.
So I checked into that, and it's not a requirement. Strictly speaking, with the W3C process, I don't think it's a hard requirement for external docs, external specs.
Well, the hard requirement is to refer to stable things, whatever they are. And I think it would be hard to argue that the so-called living spec is stable.
Yeah.
It might be possible, but it would be.
So
I'm not saying we should change the reference, but that we should put in one of these issue markers around exactly how we make the reference.
Sure. Okay. So I'll do that. I'll add the reference. The other, I guess, question. The other statement about the way we reference futures is we don't reference the futures API at all. It's quite literally the only part of the future spec that we use is the word future. Capital F future. And so if the API, if the futures API changes in any way in the future, it doesn't affect the JSON-LD API. It was a question that you asked, Andrew, at some point.
Yeah, I mean, this is where it gets really tricky, because if they change futures, then if it's the way you just described, if they change futures, then every JSON-LD piece of software, client, below the interface or above the interface, is broken and has to change.
It depends on the type of change.
Let's say they change the word then to the word following or something, right?
Yeah.
Then
right.
everything would. But if we're
going to, being really pedantic about it, it does not change the API at all. The actual spec doesn't change. The implementation of the spec.
But it does change all the. And so I don't think the director will be okay with that, because we're basically saying that JSON. Yeah, we're just saying you can't actually build on JSON-LD API in that circumstance. If future could be anything, if it's not specified what we mean by future, then you can't build on JSON-LD API, and therefore it shouldn't go to recommendation.
Yeah, although the argument that the folks working on the spec are making is that the API is stable enough to start implementing into specs.
Absolutely, and in that case, we have to demonstrate that by including test cases and such that use the fact that it's the word then, so that our test cases would break. So we have to hard code it around what the current notion of futures is. So the futures changes, we're stuck on the old one. That way, we're building on something that can't change. Even if they change what is called the future in DOM 4, that won't change JSON-LD API.
Right.
So I think we have to go that way. I mean, I'm just trying to figure this out myself, but my understanding is that's our way to go forward here.
Okay. All right. Okay, so adding two issues, to the spec. Okay, and then we'll publish next Tuesday. And then, Greg, if you could remember to move that forward in the RDF working group call tomorrow, that would be great.
Okay.
Okay, and that gives us an opportunity to fix this for Sandra while not endangering ourselves for a third last call.
Do we want to make a proposal and resolution here so that we have something to point to?
So let's see, add issue markers to the JSON-LD algorithms to the second last call for JSON-LD algorithms and API to warn about how let's see how the use native types flag and algorithm might change, and to also warn about the details of referencing the DOM. Let's see, DOM. What the WG spec with respect to futures may change. How's that look?
Assuming you typed what you read, could you do a plus one for me?
Sure thing. Okay, plus ones across the board. Okay, so that's resolved. Good.
Yeah, I think
feel a lot better about this.
I think I will clarify that that might include sort of moving where the use native types flag is applied in, say, the convert from RDF versus the expansion algorithms.
Right. And the other kind of benefit of that is that it allows us to, it allows anyone to basically merge data in JSON and then do a full conversion one way or the other, to use native types or not to use native types. There are some positive side effects of people kind of mixing data in JSON in a JavaScript environment and being able to just call expand with use native types set to true or false and get the data into some kind of uniform format that way. So that's good.
Yeah, I really like that design.
Okay, anything else on this topic before we move on to the next one? Okay, next up is RDF issue 128, mandatory profiles. This was something that I believe it was Peter Ansel brought
yes.
up. Let me make sure, yeah. So Peter's basically said that he believes that there is an interoperability issue with the way that clients request JSON LD documents from servers. So he's saying that we should make a certain profile of JSON LD mandatory, meaning that if you send this profile to the server is required to respond back with that profile. So for example, we have to make expanded form mandatory that both clients and servers implement, or we need to make compact form mandatory that both clients and servers implement. I think there is a decent bit of pushback on this. One, because I think Peter might have been missing the point of the profiles, or rather, Peter might have missed the fact that we can't force people to do things that they don't want to do. So I think he felt like there's going to be some kind of result from putting the spec language in there that we don't think is possible. So if we say servers must implement compact and expanded and flattened form, that we will have any ramification for saying that that will resonate at all with people that are implementing, you know, JSON LD servers. So to put it another way, if we require that expanded, compacted, and flattened, or if we say that those are required profiles, that increases the implementation burden for people writing JSON LD server software, and we could potentially alienate people that want to kind of dip their toes into JSON LD without going the entire way with it, if that makes sense. Does that make sense, first of all? I'm afraid that I'm not doing a very good job of explaining why it might be a bad idea to say that we require mandatory profiles for servers.
I think it got to, I think your main point is the zero edit goal.
Mm-hmm.
So the simplest starting point is to just add a header pointing to the context and serve away your current JSON shapes.
Yeah, and I think we don't want that some part of the text of the spec to be used as a club against the people that are just doing that. So if somebody does that, they add a context and they start publishing their JSON data and they require their clients to, you know, push to submit the JSON data in a very specific way, for example, Twitter, we don't want the community coming along and saying, you're doing it wrong, you should be supporting expanded form, why aren't you doing that, you're violating the JSON-LD spec, right? Because this is experience from you know, schema.org and the RDFA stuff. We whenever people end up, you know, people have good intentions when they wave that kind of stuff in front of large companies, but the large companies kind of want to just do the simplest thing to get really good press, and then eventually move the rest of their systems to become more conformant with the specification. So, for example, I think the ideal scenario is we say, hey, all you need to do is add a context to your document and your JSON-LD, right? Other people, compliant JSON-LD processors will be able to read your documents and do all this really cool stuff with it. And then when you have the time, you can implement expanded form and flattened form and all that kind of stuff. You know, you can implement accepting that kind of stuff. So that's the danger that I'm concerned with. If we say that, you know, profiles are mandatory, I'm afraid that the community is going to use that to beat people like Facebook or Google over the head with and kind of make a big stink about something that we really shouldn't be making a stink.
Well, the proposal uses should rather than must.
Right.
Now, I suppose should is still considered mandatory because that implies that they need a good reason to not support it. Mm-hmm. And okay. Just because they haven't gotten around to it probably is not considered a good reason.
Paul, I'm sorry, you've been on the queue for a while. Unmuted.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's important that the profiles like this is not, I mean, you're right about it being used as a club, because currently we're only implementing enough for us to get going, because at this point, I'd love for our implementations and our C# implementation to do the whole thing, but at this point, we don't need it. We'd like to be able to say, hey, yeah, we're using JSON-LD, blah, 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 and in our some of our docs and such, or some of our marketing docs eventually, but at this point, we don't have the need to do anything more than expand. So right now, we don't support compacted or flattened. We're only using expanded. So having that club out there would actually be a big detriment. Now we intend to continue on and be able to use the other formats, but at this point, I mean, we're just trying to get it done, and that's while expand was a pretty big undertaking, compact and flatten and all the rest really add a lot of extra overhead that doesn't, at least for right now, buy us any real business value. It will in the future. Right now, it provides us nothing. So to have that club would essentially say, okay, well, we'll use it internally, but we're not going to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You can mute me again.
Sure. I'm actually not getting feedback from you. Oh, never mind. I spoke too soon.
I wonder if it's because I'm too close to my computer, because I stepped away.
Well, no, it's better when you step away, maybe. I don't know. It might be. Well, who knows. Anyway, I'm going to mute you. Sorry, Paul.
That's
okay, so what Paul just said is kind of the feedback we've gotten in private from some of the other larger companies. So anyway, that's just the concern that I have. The other, I guess the other argument for this mandatory profiles thing is I don't think that HTTP or even the web requires that you respond back. So if a client asks you for a particular MIME type, so if they say, you know, my preferences are text HTML or HTML or then application XML and then JSON LD, they can pick, the server can pick among any one of those. And if it doesn't support any one of those, it can serve up whatever it wanted to. Or usually the last part of the request line is just give me whatever you have to for this representation. So I think we would be doing something very different in JSON LD if we said that the server is required to respond back in a certain way. I think should's fine. As Greg pointed out, you know, the current proposal is should, and I think should's fine. But if the server can't respond in the way the client wants, it should try and just respond back with anything, something, if the client says that it accepts, you know, */*.
Is that okay? I mean, maybe with a parameter that works. If the client does say */*, then certainly it should respond with anything, although it might not even be JSON. But if I say I have a single accept value, which is application JSON LD semicolon what it expanded or whatever the profiling the equals expanded, and the server cannot could provide JSON LD but not an expanded form, cannot return anything at all. It depends upon what the requirements of response requirements are when you use parameters as part of the MIME type.
Sandra, do you know? Or Nicholas?
I'm sorry, I don't know.
We should look it up. Because I think that, I mean, the experience I have with every web system that I've worked with is if it doesn't support the type that you ask for, it just gives you back whatever it can.
Even if you don't ask for */*?
I know Express does that. Node.js Express does that, and I think Apache does that as well.
I doubt that actually conforms to the spec. There'd be no point in */*.
In which case, then it doesn't, you know, everything violates the spec. At least if we're the case where Apache and Express violate the spec, then the spec doesn't reflect reality. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to have to look into this a bit more. It seemed like the actual spec text that was suggested by Peter Ansel, I think, was fairly reasonable. Once they went back and forth, once Marcus and Peter went back and forth, they got down to a set of spec texts that seemed pretty reasonable to me. I can't find the spec text, unfortunately, and unfortunately we're out of time. Actually, here we go. Sorry. Here's the spec text right here. So Peter would like it to say that the profile parameter may be used by clients to express their preferences, blah, blah, blah. If the profile parameter is given, the server should return a document that is structured based on the profiles in the list, which are recognized by the server. So I think that's a fine change. I don't know if it really captures what Peter wants, but if we get Peter made the suggestion, so if that addresses all of his issues, then we're good with this issue.
Yeah, that's what Peter recommended, and Marcus had already plus one day.
Yep. Okay. So let's just go back and ask Peter if we make that change, does that address his entire issue? Because if it does, then we're done. Okay. Anything else before we end the call for the day?
I'm just thinking, it sounds a bit like we're just restating the rules for content negotiation.
Yeah, it could be.
True.
We need to read a bit more about the content negotiation rules.
I also think the other question, I think it's 406 not acceptable if you cannot give what the client asks for.
Okay.
But I mean, we are. This is just a format. Of course, we provide the mechanism to state different profiles. I'm not. It might be that that is enough because the rest should be up to just the HTTP rules. It's like saying if someone asks for JSON and you have JSON, you should give them that JSON.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And anything more specific, give them as specific as you can. And I'm not sure it's needed, but.
Okay. Well, we need to then do a little bit more research on this to make sure that we're not duplicating spec text.
Or worse, deviating.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. Okay, that's the call for today. Thanks, everyone, for the great call. Greg, I'll make those changes as soon as we get off this call and then give you a link so that you can push it forward in the RDF working group tomorrow.
Great.
Okay. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.